Hello everyone and welcome to the Hunter Association, your source for all things Hunter Hunter. My name is Cage.
And my name is Dylan.
And on this week's episode, we will be talking about Leorio.
Hell yeah. Our favorite boy.
Oh yeah. Our second/third character retrospective here. We will continue to evolve and improve this series as we continue, and this week is no exception. We made some changes, but we'll get into that in a couple moments here.
Yep.
After that, of course, we will be going through our community comments. If you'd like to join in on the community and have your comment read, be sure to comment on the YouTube version, either on the video or on the community post. Also, make sure to like and subscribe to help grow our community of Hunter Hunter fans. Additionally, if you'd like to know when new episodes are live, click the bell to enable notifications. If you are an audio listener, make sure to rate and review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at TXHXAPod, as well as Blue Sky at THAPod, for podcast-related updates, and to submit responses to the weekly call-out posts. If you'd like, you can also still email us at HunterAssociationPod@gmail.com. As always, we have provided timestamps in the description if you would like to skip ahead to any of the aforementioned segments. Also, I have a cold, so I'm sorry if my voice is off. All right, so
to get better soon in the comments.
Yes, second time I've been sick on this show, but this one is far not as bad as the last one was. All right, so news this week. Nothing too crazy, but we did get a reveal trailer for Kite, finally, in an Impact.
About time. Mixed feelings on it after thinking about it for a little bit now. Looks like there's not going to be any RNG mechanic with him and his weapon, which is very, very sad, I think. I was really looking forward to that. He just has, like, a gun in, like, the entirety of his gameplay trailer. Like, the gun weapon. Not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, I think we were all kind of hoping for some randomness incorporated, because that's his whole thing. But I guess they're really sticking to just source material stuff, and we did only see him use three, but really only two slot rolls, so I guess that's all we're going to get. We get the gun and the scythe, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel still. I'm going to use him still, obviously, and you know I want to play him. He's my favorite character in the series, but it is sad. There was a lot of potential there that I feel like is not going to be tapped into, unfortunately.
Yeah. So they revealed him technically at the event we were at, Frosty Faustings, but they actually released this trailer a little early, so we kind of got spoiled on it.
Yeah, that would have been really cool to see, like, for the first time there, like, during that reveal. But yeah, they posted on socials about half an hour before we saw it there. So the surprise factor was definitely squandered a little bit too, so that doesn't help the case any for us.
Yeah, and it's also just the fact that the trailers in general, and honestly especially this one, just do not look very good.
No.
It must be an older build of the game or something, but it looks rough.
Well, they just don't know how to format a character reveal trailer in the first place. True. I think, for this game. I don't know. Like, there's so much more crazy stuff I'm sure you could show off in actual gameplay in the hands of, like, a good player, but, like, I don't know, man. It feels like I'm just watching, like, a Rush combo, like, you know, in the reveal trailers, and they're not even doing anything crazy. Like,
no.
I don't know. It's only, like, 30 seconds long, too. Like, I don't know, man. It could have been so much more for every character reveal trailer, I think.
Yeah, they're just not good showcases. I can't think of a time where I watched, like, one of those reveal trailers and I was, like, excited about a character, other than just them being included.
Yes,
I haven't, like, looked at a moveset in one of those trailers and I'm like, oh, that's cool. It always takes until, like, I actually see somebody playing the character.
Yeah, I wish they'd do kind of what Street Fighter VI does and, like, have, like, you know, the reveal trailer, like, some kind of cinematic trailer, and then, like, a day or two after, you have, like, a more extended video, like, showcasing the actual, like, moves and their properties and how you use them and stuff. I feel like that'd work a lot better, but
yeah,
they don't do that. Definitely. It's Arxis, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on with them.
Well, we still have many months until launch, presumably, so maybe we'll get some more detailed breakdowns of characters before then, hopefully.
I sure hope so. What are they going to talk about until then?
Story mode, I guess. But
story mode that's just going to be the equivalent of Mortal Kombat Tower.
Yeah, basically. But yeah, that's about it for news. We were at Frosty Faustings. If you missed it, we did upload a video about our experience playing Den Impact early, the demo at Frosty Faustings. So you can check that out. It's about an hour long. We had a lot of fun talking about it. And yeah, if you're curious about the game, then definitely check that out.
Definitely. We had a lot of good discussion there and we had a lot of fun recording that. So definitely go check that out if you can. I think it's one of our better bonus episodes, especially.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, I think with that, we're ready to dive into the main topic. You ready, Dylan?
There is one thing that I've neglected to even, bring up with you about before we started recording. So we've had to re-roll the winner for our giveaway. Unfortunately. The original winner has not responded in time, and we're not able to get a hold of them. So as unfortunate as that is, we do have to re-roll. We'll be re-rolling after the recording of this episode, so we don't know who the winner is yet, but I implore you guys to check your emails if you enter that giveaway at all.
Yes.
And we will be updating maybe in a YouTube community post or on socials as well, who the new winner is if we're able to, like if they have a social account, just so you can keep an eye out there as well. But please check your emails, 'cause we are re-rolling the winner of our giveaway for the complete Blu-ray set of Hunter x Hunter 2011. Yeah, we want somebody to take these off our hands, so please check your emails to see if you were the new winner.
Yes, please do. And if you missed it or forgot at this point, this was a giveaway for the Hunter x Hunter 2011 complete anime series on Blu-ray. You can no longer enter. That's done. But you do have another chance here if you already entered to win. So keep an eye out on probably the day this uploads, you'll see a post that is letting you know who won.
Yeah, we'll get the word out there one way or another, but please check your socials and emails for us contacting you, or reach out if you see that we announced you and we haven't reached out to you yet. That would help us a little bit as well. So yeah, just keep an eye and ears out. That's it.
Yep. And once again, the email is hunterassociationpod@gmail.com. That is the email we'll be contacting you with, and the email you can contact us with if you need to.
Yes. Okay. All right. Aside from that, I think we're ready to dive into the topic for today.
All right. Let's talk about Leorio.
Yes. Let's do it.
All right, everybody. Welcome to our character retrospective on Leorio Parody Knight. Everybody's favorite everyman here.
That's a good Logan, or good Logan, good slogan, I think. Everyone's favorite handyman, or everyman. That's what you said.
Everyman, yep.
I'm bad with English today, evidently.
Logan and every... Logan. What was it? What did you say?
Handyman, every, not it.
Handyman.
Yeah.
Handyman.
Look at me. We're not even... We haven't even started yet, and I'm fumbling my words.
Great start.
Yeah, this will be a good one.
All right, so... again, we have made a few changes, nothing major, honestly. Whenever I initially started working on this and I had this idea to change the format, I thought this would be a lot more drastic of a change than it actually ended up being, but it's really kind of the same thing. All that I did was I reformatted the way I do notes for this segment so that it is easier for us to talk. It's also a lot more bridged. Well, not a lot more, it's just more bridged. Like, I'm not as in-depth as I was in the Kurapika one, because I'm trying to hone more in on the character and not the things around him or them. We'll see how it goes. I think this is a totally serviceable method, though. You might not even notice a difference, honestly, listening to this. But on our screen, at least on our script, it definitely looks different. But you, the listener, may not even notice a difference.
No, yeah, but this should help facilitate our discussion, I think. And I think Leorio's a good character to kind of try this format out for ourselves as well, considering we're gonna have to be talking more about the character himself specifically and not the events surrounding him due to a lack thereof later in the series, especially.
All right, so starting off, Leorio Parodi Knight is a rookie hunter aiming to become a doctor. He was born on March 3rd and is currently 21 years old in the current story.
You wouldn't think he's that young, though.
The running bit with him is that he looks very old, but despite the fact that at the beginning he's 19, so definitely didn't look like a 19-year-old.
That's so crazy to me, still. I thought he was a grown-ass man when I first started watching the series.
Yep.
And then I found out he was very, very young, and that was a system shock to me.
Yeah. And the cast also thought he was old. It was actually a funny moment. We'll get into it, actually, in Trick Tower about that. I do want to talk about that whole appearance thing, because I actually had a thought while I was reading Yu Yu Hakusho not too long ago. So in Yu Yu Hakusho, Togashi, all the characters, like the main cast, are all in middle school, okay? But none of them look like that at all, or act.
There are some characters I remember seeing from Yu Yu Hakusho. I would not think that they're high schoolers, dude. What?
Middle school.
Oh, yeah, middle school. Yeah. No, that's what I meant, but jeez.
Yeah. So I personally feel that Leorio in general is a jab at himself at the fact that nobody looked their age in Yu Yu Hakusho.
That's a really
Pure speculation, but that's how I like to view it.
That'd be a really funny, like, meta bit from Togashi. I respect that, if that's the case.
Yeah, because it is very exaggerated with Leorio. I mean, he does not look his age in any capacity.
No, not at all. You put him next to Jing and you would think they're the same age.
Exactly, yeah. So, before the story begins, you'll remember in Kurapika's section we had a lot to say because, well, Kurapika has a whole volume about before the story. Leorio doesn't have that much, and in fact, even compared to other minor characters, we actually know very little about Leorio's past, despite him being one of the four main characters, allegedly. But we do know that he lost a close childhood friend to a disease that could have been cured if he had the money to pay for it. This is what led him to desire both money and to become a doctor.
And this was only ever mentioned like once or twice in the series, right? Like just this event being referenced in general.
Yeah, pretty early on it was mentioned, and maybe it was referred to again later on. But it's not really expanded on too much.
I'd really like to see like a flashback to that at some point, just to kind of have a little more substance to that, because I feel like this exact description that you kind of like said is pretty much all we get regarding it. And I don't know. I just want to learn more about him, because we don't really know anything about Leorio.
No, we that's it. That's literally all we know.
And, maybe there's a beauty of some sort in like just like not having that. He's just kind of like a regular everyday guy almost.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It feels weird that the other three have gotten explored to the depths that they have and not Leorio. But maybe that means there's future plans for him, as I'm sure will be the common trend as we go through this retrospective.
Yes, much to say in that regard. So, in the Hunter Exams arc, he first appears on the boat that picks up Gon from Whale Island. On that boat, he argues with Kurapika about their reasons for becoming hunters. But eventually, the three of them team up to save the boat from a storm, and they all become fast friends. However, with Kurapika specifically, he does kind of maintain an antagonistic relationship with him throughout a good chunk of the arc, but slowly over the course of it, they warm up to each other.
I always found it really interesting how, like, with Gon, like, Leorio just kind of, like, befriended him. I mean, like, they all kind of, like, befriended each other almost immediately after the whole boat section, right? But, like, I don't know. It always was really interesting to me how, like, he was just immediately, like, warmed up to Gon almost. Like, he's like, all right, little buddy, we're friends now. And then Kurapika is just like, I do not trust you at all for, like, a good portion of it. It's so, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting. That says more about Karapika's nature than anything else,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You know.
Because it's about how he worded his response. Leorio was like, I just want to become a hunter for the money.
Oh, and right.
It's whenever Leorio reveals why he wants money is when Kurapika starts to warm up to him.
Right. It was a clash of ideals and a lack of Leorio opening up immediately.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. That's in his character.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Eventually, when they get to the Hunter Exams, throughout the first and honestly most other phases, Leorio gets carried by Kurapika and Gon.
He's the literal definition of dead weight.
Yes, unfortunately. He kind of doesn't contribute much, other than his positive attitude, I suppose.
Yeah.
But not during Trick Tower, but we'll get to that.
He was the team's cheerleader, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, he had, like, Was it even revealed at this point that he had, like, the doctoring experience? I don't think so, right? So, like, he couldn't even really contribute that.
It was.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah. There's a scene, the only really time he really uses it is whenever they're trapped in the cave with that beekeeper, or the snake charmer, I mean. He says he would heal him, but, I mean, he was dead already anyways, so didn't really do anything.
That makes sense.
And also, there's a part where Tompa fakes having, like, eaten laxatives or something, and Leorio says he has medicine for it. But, I mean, that was all a trick anyways.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, he was actually just useless. Not.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he does display, like, pretty, you know, surprising stamina in the first phase, at least, where they're running. He does that. Clear that. And he pins his badge to his bare chest also.
What a guy. Yeah, there's not really a lot to say because, like, yeah, he actually did just get carried by the other three. It was a very physical kind of competition, and he was not that.
No. However, Hisoka, once he runs into Leorio, he does note that Leorio has potential and is interested in him in some capacity. He also hits him really hard and knocks him out, which makes Gon literally have to carry Leorio for the rest of the first phase.
This guy. But yeah, this is the first of a couple times, I think, that, you know, he's noted he has, like, potential, you know, along with the other three. It just doesn't showcase it immediately, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. He then ends up meeting Killua at the end of the first phase, who is, you know, the other main character. I think we all know Killua if you're watching this video or listening to this podcast. During Trick Tower, he spends most of his time arguing with Tonpa and Kurapika. He weighs down the team a lot. He plays an interesting role during Trick Tower where he is kind of at odds with most of the cast, and he just it gets in everybody's way all the time to varying success.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, he's just kind of... I don't want to call Leorio useless here. He provides some input, especially in Trick Tower, but yeah, he's just... He's at odds with everybody, almost, aside from Gon.
Yeah. A lot of this is because of Tonpa, though, because, I mean, yes. Tonpa was trying to break them apart. Just Leorio was giving in to him a lot.
And Leorio's very feeble-minded at this point in the series, yes. Unfortunately. He's very easily influenced.
You know, is part of his charm. He's an everyman. He gives into temptation, he gives into emotions. He's a very grounded character, grounded and realistic character, I would say, most of the time, at least.
Yes, and it feels almost intentional that, like, his age isn't even revealed by this point, because it's very, like, it makes you think, like, why is this grown man, like, having such, like, a juvenile mind? Why is he, like, being tricked so easily, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get revealed the age, and it's like, oh, kind of starts making sense at that point.
Right, right. he does end up owning up to all of this, though, by the end of the phase.
Yes.
So. Is good. He's very mature about that.
It's very obvious that this whole first arc is kind of just, like, to start Leorio's, like, growth, almost, very early on. Kind of show how much of nothing he is initially, and when you get later into the series, it kind of contrasts that in a really cool way.
Yeah, for sure. So, he ends up facing a female opponent named Leroute in a betting battle. This is his kind of, you know, this is, like, main thing he does. This is, like, his only one-on-one fight, so to speak, even though it's not a fight. During this battle of sorts, he loses a rock, paper, scissors contest against her, first of all, and then he loses another bet on whether or not she is female. Of course, he loses this one intentionally so he can verify the answer. Not Leorio's best moment there.
No, he's very mask off there, unfortunately.
But, you know, obviously I don't think anybody really likes that scene. But to view that scene with an analytical mind, we can say that this is a showcase of how Leorio is no better than the average man. He gives in to temptation at the cost of a lot. I think they lose like 10 hours because of that.
It was a very harsh punishment. Yeah, they were not happy with them, the other three, or Anton.
No.
Yeah, it was bad. That's by far maybe potentially his weakest moment in the entire series.
I would say by far. That is definitely his worst moment. He just completely fumbled.
No. Yeah, it was bad. There's not really much more to say about it. It was just awful.
In the fourth phase, he gets totally carried, literally, actually again, because he was knocked out because of the poison gas in the cave by Gon and Kurapika to his victory.
Second time he gets knocked out.
Yes. So,
how did this guy become a hunter?
By sheer luck and good friends.
Yeah, actually, the power of friendship. That's exactly what happened here.
And then, if you thought it couldn't get any more lucky for Leorio, in the final phase, his opponent, Bodoro, is killed by Killua, and the whole tournament is canceled as a result.
So, I want to see the alternate timeline where, like, you know, that doesn't happen. Like, does Leorio just, like, fail, and, like, that's it? Like, he doesn't appear for the rest of the series?
Remember, only one person could fail that exam anyways, because it was actually, like, the winner who failed.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Or, no, sorry, it was the loser moves up, and whoever loses every match is the one who loses.
Is that how it worked? Okay.
Yeah, it was a weird, like, reverse bracket. So, like, if you won, then you won your life. You only had to win one fight to get your license.
Right.
Which is what happened to Gon with Hanzo.
But if you lost literally every single fight, that means everybody else has won at least one.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
But it didn't even end up playing. So yeah, honestly, Leorio may have been the one to do that if it actually played out like normal. But
considering every other applicant in that I can remember making it to the final phase, I don't think Leorio stands a chance against literally anybody.
So, no.
Yeah, that would. He got very lucky. Very, very, very lucky.
Indeed. He acknowledges the fact that he doesn't really deserve to have his license by the end of this. Yeah. So he really does own up to it. He's pretty down on himself about it. He's like, "And I just did not do anything, but I still got my license." But you know, I mean, you can still like this brings him closer to his goal. So he's not gonna just like throw this away.
This is a man that can recognize his own faults. I respect it.
Exactly. Yeah. Very respectable. After this, he sets off with Kurapika and Gon to save Killua, quote-unquote. As we all know, he doesn't really need saving, but they go anyways.
Redemption arc begins.
Yes, which brings us to the Zoldyck family arc, where Leorio strengthens his bond with his friends and also strengthens his body. This is where they train with Zebro, the gatekeeper of the mountain that the Zebro or Killua, the Zoldyck, not whatever I just said.
I don't even know what you just said. My brain didn't parse it.
I said Zebro first, and then I said Killua. The Killua Mansion. He is able to single-handedly open the second level of the big gate outside the mountain that weighs 8 tons. This scene is only in the manga, but it displays that of the three, Leorio physically grew the strongest.
Which is awesome, and I really wish the anime showcased that specifically, because correct me if I'm wrong, the anime basically said, yeah, all three work together to push this open, right?
That's correct, yeah. It starts off with just the two of them, because Gon has his broken arm at that point, so it's just Leorio and Kurapika, and they can't even open the first gate. Together, so then Gon comes in, and then they all three do it.
So it really props Gon up, and then makes Leorio still look kind of.
Yep. Whereas Leorio was the big deal in the manga, he did the biggest feat.
That's his first big moment, showcasing his own individual strength after an entire arc of him being absolutely useless, which is really cool to me, and I wish the anime showcased that.
And that's what that scene is supposed to be. It's like, okay, Leorio can stand on his own. He's really trying here. He's working out. He's training. He's trying to be on par with the people that carried him to victory.
Yeah, he said, my friends are so cool, and like, you know, they have all these talents. I have nothing. I don't deserve to have the license I have right now. Like, you know, I'm going to do something. I'm going to change that. That's like the first step.
Yeah. But not in the anime for whatever reason.
Yeah.
At least 2011. After Killua returns to them, they all part ways and vow to meet in York New City on September 1st. Which brings us to Heaven's Arena, which he's not in, but just like Kurapika, we do know roughly what he was doing at this time. He was working towards his goal of becoming a doctor. At this point, he was mostly just like studying. He was going to school, I believe, at this point. And he also learned the basics of Nen at this point. And when I say the basics, I mean the very basics. He kind of just knows what Nen is and can, like...
He can see his aura.
Yeah, he can see aura, he can summon aura. That's about it, though.
He can't do anything with it.
No.
No. That's the only scene in Heaven's Arena, right? That was it?
Well, that's not even in...
Oh, right, that's just like during the time.
During the time, yeah.
Yeah, so he's off doing that. That's it, though.
Yep.
Not a lot to say there.
No, not really. That's what he was up to, though. Which brings us to York New City, where he has a major role, finally. Where he is the first to meet up with Gon and Killua, as promised. Kurapika is preoccupied at the moment, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah, go check out the Kurapika retrospective if you're curious what he was up to there.
Yeah, and they inform him that they are trying to get a game called Greed Island. He comes up with a plan to earn money by doing an arm wrestling competition against Gon with an entry fee. Of course, no one will actually be able to beat Gon, so in theory, this should be an infinite money glitch. However, this will not be enough to get them the money required.
You know, pretty genius idea by him, honestly.
Super smart.
Leorio kind of gives off like carny energy to me, so this was a cool little moment here. I don't know.
Yeah. Leorio reveals that this is actually a multi-step plan, though, and that the arm wrestling competition is actually bait to get a bigger fish to bite. Eventually, this happens, and two mafia members approach the group, and Leorio actually beats one of them in an arm wrestling match himself. This is also cut from the end.
I was about to say, I don't remember that at all. What?
Yeah, he takes over a couple arm wrestling matches, if I'm not mistaken, but he at least does that. He goes into that mafia member to kind of prove that they're worth, bringing into this thing that we're about to talk about.
Dude, why does the 2011 anime hate Leorio so much? That's crazy, huh?
I don't know, man. I don't get it either.
They do not want him looking strong at all.
No, they sure don't. I don't get it.
I know it's just arm wrestling. It doesn't mean a whole lot at the end of the day, but I don't get it. Like, why not include it?
It's really just like that whole quality of Leorio about him being like pretty strong is just not in the anime. Like, you would have no idea.
No, he must be a doctor only, and that is it. That is the only quality he will have, according to 2011.
Yep. So after beating that mafia member, they inform them of a manhunt for the Phantom Troop with a big cash prize for finding them. This sets in motion a plan where they tail Machi and Nobunaga for a while, which eventually leads to Gon and Killua being captured by them. Eventually, of course, they escape. This has nothing to do with Leorio, ultimately, so we kind of can't really talk about it here. But
I was about to say, he kind of chose to stay back, right? Because, you know, what the hell was he going to do?
He was like the man in the chair.
Yeah,
he was kind of watching and helping out from afar. Mm-hmm. Finally, on September 4th, all four of the friends meet up and they collaborate on a plan to face off against the troop. Things don't exactly go as planned because of Kurapika losing his temper and whatnot and getting Gon and Killua captured once again. During this whole ordeal, Leorio mostly acts as transportation, very reliable and good transportation, though.
Yes.
I will add. He was very helpful. That he was not useless here at all.
Five-star Uber driver.
Yeah. He does actually get a cool moment when Gon and Killua get captured again. He pretends to have a phone call right by them where he's able to deliver a coded message to them. Doing something that risky right next to the troop takes some serious guts, so respect to Leorio for that one. That was a cool move.
Yeah, and I love moments like these with Leorio where, like, especially coming out of the Hunter exam, where obviously he was like physically the weakest by far. He's finding these other avenues to prove, like, to have some like usefulness to his friends and just whatever he's doing in general. A lot of smarts being used, a lot of like strategy almost, and that's definitely one of his strong points as a character. And this is just one example of a really cool showcase of that.
Yeah, he's super intelligent, really. Like, he's kind of an idiot a lot of the times, but he's got street smarts, which count. And also, I mean, he's a doctor, so he's also got like medical smarts.
He just has smarts in general. It's just a matter
of smart.
He early on in the series, he didn't really know how to apply those smarts, I think.
Yeah,
he
was, that's a good way to say it.
Yeah. But obviously here he's finding a way to be useful, and that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, again, like you said, right next to the troop, to pull that off is pretty crazy.
Yeah, he grew a lot during this time, and it really shows. And during his time away from them as well, and also during the time at the Zoldyck mansion.
Yeah, York knew was
constantly growing.
It was a big podium for him to step on in terms of showcasing more aspects of his character.
Yes. So, after a somewhat successful mission, Leorio sticks around by Kurapika's side while he recovers from his extended use of Emperor Time. He sees both Kurapika and Melody off at the airport, and they go their separate ways. So, just more of Leorio being a good guy there.
Good friend.
Sticking next to his friend, yep. After they part ways, he looks over the contract given to Gon and Killua for the Greed Island recruitment test, and then they part ways as well. So again, just being a good friend.
Yeah, he's like, all right, let's see if there's any binding legalities here.
Yeah. Yep. So the four friends have once again departed, and Leorio says that by the next time they meet, he may be a full doctor.
Very exciting.
So then, unfortunately, for two arcs, we get absolutely nothing. Greed Island and Chimera Ant, nothing.
No mention, no flashbacks, no name drops, just he's disappeared.
No. Gone. Even, like, you know, with Kurapika, there was at least a little bit of something to say about Greed Island, but we get nothing. He is not in either of these arcs in any capacity. So, that's it. For those.
I mean, there might have been like a name drop that I'm forgetting, but like it was like nothing.
I'm sure he was mentioned at some point. But
for all we know, he's studying. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. During this time, he was probably just studying, working on his Nen more than the like. But then, finally, two arcs later, in the 13th Hunter Chairman election arc, he makes his grand return by screaming at Goto over the phone. His short temper is too difficult to negotiate with, so he passes the phone off to Morel.
Love it.
He tries to call Kurapika to see if he's going to see Gon, since he is in critical condition at this point. A lot has happened in these two arcs that he wasn't there. Gon is like basically dying at this point.
Yep.
If you somehow forgot about that. But Kurapika does not answer his phone.
Asshole friend.
What an asshole. Already heated by this, Leorio heads to the Hunter Association HQ, where a Q&A for the Zodiacs is about to take place. He decides to ask Jing why he hasn't visited Gon yet. Jing says that there's no need. Leorio calls bullshit on that, to which Jing asks Leorio if Gon asked for him to be there. Obviously, Gon can't even speak right now, so that pisses Leorio off immensely, and he uses his newly revealed Nen ability to punch Jing from a distance.
Still the coolest moment in the entire arc for me, and yes, I'm sure for many others as well.
Incredible moment here. This is Leorio's big shining moment, I think. We all remember this.
Yeah. Defining moment of his character, and just I think this is a moment specifically that, like, you know, if you were kind of like cold or 50-50 on Leorio up until this point, this is the moment that probably turned him around on you.
This arc in general, he is just such a delight, and I love him here.
I don't know, he obviously developed his Nen, he is very much caring for his friend here in a very critical moment. Just straight up remote punching the strongest hunter in existence right now, probably. I don't know. That, like, this just did so much for his character. and just how his presentation as a whole. He got aura after this.
Absolutely. So this Nen ability he has developed off screen for the most part. Well, for all the part, actually. We didn't see anything of this development. But it is colloquially called Remote Punch. This isn't an official name or anything, but this is what fans have taken to call it since it was revealed. Since it is not named yet for whatever reason. It is an emission type Nen ability because he is an emitter. I forgot to mention that earlier, but he is an emitter. And after striking an object in his vicinity, Leorio emits his aura in a line that travels along a surface from the point of impact to a desired location. A wormhole-like circle is generated from which a fist emerges to uppercut the target, stretching far beyond the length of a normal arm. Jing, who mimicked this technique later on, showed that multiple punches can be emitted by striking a surface many times, although it is unknown if Leorio can do the same.
I sure hope he can, and I sure hope we see it.
Me too. One day.
One day, I believe.
Following this punch, Leorio tells Jing to drop dead, and the crowd goes wild.
And I went wild too.
Yes, we all did. This action alone has now put Leorio in the running as a legitimate candidate for the chairman of the Hunter Association. Even though he has no desire to take on this role.
And that just maybe won him in that spot even more.
Yeah. Throughout this whole reluctant participation in this election, he makes it all the way to the final four candidates and even later, the final two. At this point, it is just between him and Periston. He gives a speech about how he really doesn't want to be the chairman, and if he wins, all he will do is abuse his power in any way he can to help Gon. To Periston's surprise, this actually manages to win the crowd over even more. Because he's charismatic. He's been hyping up Gon his entire campaign, just about like, I want to save my friend. That's all he's talked about. And yeah, I mean, he wins the crowd over with empathy.
Yeah, he's like, this dude really cares about his friend. And you know, I would have to, I it's hard for me to remember specific details of the chairman election arc right now, unfortunately, but I feel like by this point a lot of the crowd kind of just like knows about Gon in general and like what he did as well, so like that probably helped his case too. Like, wow, he really wants to save this guy who did so much, you know, for the Khmer Ant stuff. I actually don't know how public the Khmer Ant stuff.
No, that's came out, actually. Not public. Really.
Not public. Okay, I couldn't. No, yeah,
especially Gon's involved. Like, it's known he was there, but nothing of what he did is known to the public.
But yeah, no. So it really is just purely off of empathy that he's winning the crowd over, which is really cool. And really, again, in Leorio's character says a lot about his values.
For sure. Yeah. So at this point, just when it seems like Leorio is a guaranteed win, Gon walks into the conference hall fully recovered, and Leorio sprints at him and gives him a big hug. Also a very memorable moment here. I love that. It's a very sweet scene.
I love it.
Now having no reason to be there whatsoever, he basically drops out of the election and casts his vote to Periston.
Free win to Periston on a silver platter. You hate to see it.
Yep, so this isn't important in any capacity to Leorio, but Periston does win, but then he resigns immediately and Cheadle takes over, we all know.
Yep.
Also, worth noting that Cheadle was very friendly with Leorio through all of this. She offered to, like, if Leorio were to win, she offered to, like, you know, basically be his VP and also basically just be the chairman behind the shadows. Like,
yeah.
She'll just do all the work for him, basically.
He'll be the spokesman. Essentially,
yeah,
they became good friends after that.
Yeah, she at least at the very least had a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, and who wouldn't have a lot of respect for him after everything he was talking about purely for the sake of his friend?
Yeah, for sure. After all is said and done, he tries to call Kurapika once again, but gets no answer.
Asshole.
Yep.
Hate that then, guy. JK, I love you, Kurapika.
We love Kurapika. Then, finally, this brings us to the current arc, the Succession Contest arc, or Succession War. Baby. begins with Leoro actually having a big involvement and eventually devolves into him having no involvement. But at the
funny how
at
that
least,
works.
Yeah, it is. Cheadle calls Leorio and informs him that Jing and Periston have left the Zodiacs and that there are two openings now. She offers the boar spot to him, since he is an immensely popular hunter now, and his influence could be useful. He joins, and now takes on the title of the Boar Zodiac.
Very, very cool moment for him. Just good development in general. And also showcasing, yeah, dude, he is one of the most popular hunters in the world now. Purely yeah. off of that election. Which yep. is so crazy to me. Like, finally some recognition for him
yeah.
growing as a person.
He deserves it.
Yeah.
He then nominates Karapika to fill the Rat Zodiac spot. Mizai Stome goes to recruit him at the Nostrad family headquarters. They successfully recruit him, and Leorio is finally able to get a hold of him on the phone.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah. Where Karapika says he has now heard about Gon's condition and asks if there's anything he can do. Well... Dude, nice that he still cares, but it's pretty late, man.
Dude, it's way too late, man. Too late. Get a grip.
Yeah, get a grip indeed. And so, yeah, no, those two meet back up. And we don't really get, like, an extravagant reunion, unfortunately.
No, they're just like, hey, man. Hey, bro.
Yeah. It's pretty casual. But, you know, it's nice that they're together again.
I feel like Gon and Killua kind of brings more of, like, the inner child out of those two. Like, if they're around. But they yeah. weren't there this time, so they're just like, hey, it's all business.
Right, right. So later on, when planning the Dark Continent expedition, Leorio is assigned to the medical/science team.
Only fitting.
Yeah, makes sense. So now, on the Black Whale 1 itself, we haven't seen a whole lot of Leorio. In fact, we've seen him exactly twice, and both were basically just cameos. He seems to be keeping busy helping out the rest of the medical team on the boat.
Yeah.
And that's all we got on Leorio for the time being.
Yeah, he's running around doing medical stuff. That's as far as we know. And who knows if we'll even see any more of him while we're still on the boat. Or on this current boat, anyways.
Yeah.
Because speculation right now is that maybe he'll have more involvement once the actual Dark Continent expedition takes off proper, which would make sense. And as we kind of talked about in our theory episode not too long ago, we feel like that's a perfect opportunity for him to become maybe the main protagonist of that arc, mm-hmm. which would be really cool. Because, you know, especially when the succession contest started, you would think he would be like, him and Karapika would be like the two protagonists of the arc, right? And that obviously did not turn out to be the case. But yeah. A lot of high hopes for Leorio going forward.
Yeah, and I'd highly recommend checking out our What's Beyond the Succession War episode, because we actually talk a lot about Leorio, and that would actually be a really good companion piece to this episode, I think.
Yeah. Kind of picking up right where we're leaving off here on the Succession Contest, speculating what he could be doing in the future. And I think we have some cool ideas as to what that could entail.
Yeah, but we're both... To sum it all up, we're both very hopeful for the future of this character, and I hope to see him a lot more. Maybe not on the boat. If not, that's fine. I would like to see him on the boat, but I mean, he does seem to be busy with stuff that wouldn't exactly be entertaining to watch. He's kind of just a doctor, really, right now. He's helping the mass amount of patients, and with the doctor shortage, I mean, he's definitely got his hands full.
Now, if an event were to happen on that, though, where even more patients are required to be tended to, maybe we get a bit of a focus on him.
Maybe.
But, and that could very well happen, as with what's happening right now in the arc. But who's to say? Only Togashi knows.
That's right. So before we just round up with our thoughts on the character in general, we'll talk about some fun facts and trivia. One of the facts is definitely not fun, but it is a fact. First of all, his last name wasn't revealed until the chairman election arc, which is actually really crazy. I did not know that.
I'd like to imagine Togashi got to that arc. He's like, oh, wait, did I ever reveal his last name? It's like, oops.
Yeah.
Let's put it in here.
Yeah. His Yu Yu Hakusho counterpart is Kuwabara. Their similarities can basically be boiled down to the fact that they are both the everyman in their respective series. You know, they're both just like the... Especially at the beginning, their similarities are a lot deeper because they're both kind of like the bumbling idiot of the group. Leoru, of course, develops. Kuwabara does too, to an extent. Not as much. He still kind of remains comic relief the whole time. I mean, so does Leorio, I suppose. But he... Well... Actually, yeah.
I can't remember the last time Leoru's had a comic relief moment, though, to be fair.
Yeah, I guess.
It's been a while.
I mean, he kind of just is a funny guy by nature.
Yeah.
Like, the way he carries himself is just funny.
Yeah, like, because you could definitely take away from, like, the punching Jing moment as, like, a funny moment. But, like, it's also equally serious.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just very expressive.
Yeah. And here's the sad one. His 2011 Japanese voice actor, Keiji Fujiwara, unfortunately passed away in 2020. No replacement voice actor has been chosen yet, and who knows if one will. We'll see. And all of his lines in Nen Impact are actually reused from the 2011 anime itself, which I did not know.
I didn't know that either, and I'm kind of happy to know that, because like, that voice is iconic to me, and it's going to be really weird.
Absolutely.
If the anime does come back at some point, and, you know, Leroy is voiced by somebody different. Like, that's just going to be weird. I don't know.
Yeah, it's very hard to imagine, because, yeah, like you said, that is just an absolutely iconic voice. I can't imagine a different voice coming out of that body.
Yeah, just like the kind of like, I'm thinking back to the Jing moment too, you know, screaming like, go to hell or whatever the hell he said to Jing, and just how like guttural that felt. Like, that was such good voice acting.
Yeah, he's a master. But yeah, someday if the anime ever comes back, I'm sure we'll get a recast. We'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully it does some amount of justice to what Fujiwara did for the character.
Yes, one can hope. And then lastly, my favorite fun fact is that in the last mission, the incredible 10 out of 10 masterpiece film, Leoru emerges from a sewer on the 20th floor of Heaven's Arena. So what does this tell us about Leoru exactly?
This tells us that he is powerful beyond belief and human comprehension.
That's right.
You know, maybe, you know, like, he can teleport his punches, he can teleport his entire body, and it's yet to be revealed.
Hey, man, you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
So, yeah, that's all we got on Leoru. So let's just kind of talk about Leoru for a bit now before we see what you guys have to say. So, I absolutely love Leoru. He has his ups and downs, but that's what makes him charming. Like we talked about at the beginning, he's an everyman. He is... supposed to, you know, embody the everyman. He's just a guy. He's just in this situation with these crazy talented people, and he's kind of just being swept off his feet by them, carried the whole way to the finish line, and then trying to figure out, okay, where do I fit in this? How do I attain my goal, keep my amazing friends, and also stay by their side and keep up with them? And he does it, you know, like, he, in his own weird way, he manages to do everything he set out to do, and with flying colors. I mean, he's now a Zodiac, which is unbelievable, and it's all because of like his incredible personality and his charisma that he made it this far.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with what you said, and just to add to that, I guess, like, in a world where characters are so like incredibly powerful, busted, really complex backstories and motivations, like, in a world of characters that are just filled with qualities like that, Leoru being like one of, if not the like the sole exception almost, of just being just an regular everyday dude, you know, just kind of trying to fulfill his passion, his dream of becoming a doctor, which is a very like human and like relatable goal almost, compared to some of these other things these other characters are doing and wanting, you know, Kurapika basically being Sasuke, you know, the Sasuke equivalent, rather, you know, wanting revenge for his clan and whatnot. Yeah, Leoru's just another guy, you know, just trying to get by. He's, you know, being really involved now with the Hunter Association, but, or the rather the Zodiacs. I don't know. He's just a very refreshing character in that sense. He's very different from most of the rest of the cast, especially the main other three, you know, Gon, Killua, and Kurapika. And that kind of paints him in a really good light to me. He's a very relatable character, very human character. And like you said, has a lot of ups and downs, but overall, just, he's a cool guy. You know, you can't help but like him after a certain point with how charismatic he is, which obviously is, you know, how he's viewed in the Hunter x Hunter world as well. And, I don't know. I find it cool that feeling and sentiment kind of carries over into, at least from what I've seen, the vast majority of readers and watchers of the series.
100%, yeah. And with the ups and downs, I think that just solidifies how great of a character he is, because no character can be perfect. That's just boring. All four of the main characters are flawed. Obviously, you have to have flaws to be a good character. They all have their quirks. Gon's aren't really brought to the surface until much later in the series, but they are very apparent once they are brought up. Leorio, he kind of wears them on his sleeve. You know, he's a very flawed man, and because of his the brand of his flaws, I'll say, are the most human of the four. I think they're the most relatable and attainable to just an average person. He gives into like temptation and desire. He's stubborn. He's kind of an asshole sometimes. He's just very blunt.
Would effectively kill somebody for one of his closest friends. Like,
He's of the four. Like I said, he's flawed in the most human way between all four of the main characters, and I think that's what kind of endears everybody to him so much, or at least most people. I guess not everybody is a Leorio fan, but if you're sensible, you're a Leorio fan.
Yeah, not good point. And you know, yeah, the lack of like a complex like backstory and stuff right now too kind of works in his favor in that regard as well, because again, he's just kind of an everyday regular dude. He's an everyman, like, you know. There's not a lot to him, but that's kind of the beauty of his character at the same time, because again, makes him human, makes him more relatable to us. And not only that, but like, there is always the option of adding more layers to that character, and you know, more, you know, complications to him if Togashi so well chooses. And that kind of speculation going to the future of, you know, will more focus be put on him? Will we learn more about him in general? Kind of tying back to how we don't really know any details, any specific details about his upbringing and his backstory, right? You know, his dream of becoming a doctor in the first place, aside from just, you know, a couple small details. That's really exciting to kind of, like, think about the prospect of learning more about that. And I think that kind of adds to the enjoyment of his character, because I feel like a lot of people, when talking about Leorio now, is, like, very excited to learn more about him. And that excitement definitely does a lot for the perspective of a character in an ongoing series.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really do like to believe that there is a grander plan for him, and we'll explore him a lot more in the future. But even with what we've already gotten from him, I love him, and I like the role he serves. He's not like the most important earth-shattering figure. You know, all four, you know, the other three at least, are pretty big figures in the world, at least. Well, sorta, I guess. I mean, I guess you can say Gon isn't exactly a big figure, but he is at least he's well liked, at least.
Yes, I would argue that he's become a big figure at this point, in no small part to Leorio, though.
Very true. He put Gon in the public's eyes, actually. So I mean,
I don't know if it ever really touched on this aspect, considering, you know, Gon lost his then kind of relevance in general, right? Aside from meeting his father. But like, I would imagine after that whole ordeal, you know, going walking into the whole thing, you know, with Leorio during the election, that he probably became one of the more popular hunters in general too, in terms of just public sentiment, right?
100%. Yeah, I mean, whenever he did enter that room, they were all telling him to start running, even though it was way too late at that point. But yeah, they definitely had a lot of respect for Gon, just because of how much Leorio hyped him up.
Mm-hmm. What a good friend.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the power of Leorio. He's a swell guy. Again, very flawed, but that's what makes him human and relatable, and that's why I like him.
Yep. And then, yeah, like you said, I have no doubts that they will explore him more later in the series whenever Togashi gets around to it. No doubt in my mind. He's one-of-a-kind character in this series.
Absolutely. There's definitely a plan. I hope we get to see it come to fruition. That's that's the fear on everybody's mind, of course, but
what can you do?
We though? Will see. Yeah, we can do nothing. We can just watch what we can get. So, yeah, that's about all our thoughts, I think, on Leorio, unless you got anything else to say, Dylan.
No, I think I got most of it out of my system. I'm ready to hear what everybody else has to say.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah. Okay, we are going to be reading your guys' thoughts on Leorio now today. Just as a usual reminder, if you want to get in on the conversation on each of our weekly episodes, be sure to keep an eye out for YouTube community posts or posts on Blue Sky and Twitter accounts. Or if you see any of those but you can't respond to any of the socials for whatever reason, you can always send an email at the usual email, hunterassociationpod@gmail.com. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into it. We do have one Twitter post reply from Terror of Talos, saying he's definitely one of the most normal people in the story with any amount of focus. Unlike the other three, he has the most selfless goal while also having the least notable lineage and most soothing heartbeat, according to Melody. Which is a really interesting point. I don't think we touched on that in our...
I didn't mention that. But yeah, that she mentions that right whenever they depart the airport. He says he had the most... what was it again?
Soothing heartbeat.
Most soothing heartbeat in the city, yeah, that's what she said.
Very kind-hearted individual, evidently. Yeah. Him being lucked out / saved multiple times by others during the exam is almost like a guardian angel watching over Leorio just to grant him an opportunity to succeed in the future. Depending on what happens to Kurapika during / after succession, it'll likely be the first time Leorio will be without anyone he has deep connections with while still being truly tested on his goal to save people via his own capabilities during his time in the Dark Continent. Yeah. I don't really have more to add. You kind of hit all the notes I have on him. And I think the Dark Continent would be the perfect opportunity to explore Leorio's, not only his goals, but yeah, like if he's without Kurapika for whatever reason, you know, what is Leorio like on his own without any friends around? That'd be really interesting, wouldn't it?
Yep. There is the making for the perfect Leorio arc on the Dark Continent.
Absolutely. It really is getting to a point where I feel like there's not a doubt in my mind that that will happen. It feels almost too much like a layup, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see, evidently. But yeah, no, you hit all the notes that I have on him.
Yeah, for sure. All right, next comes from Issa, who says, I have not much to say, but we know Gon is important. Kurapika and Killua are important to the story. Leorio should also be important, but he just hasn't been that. I'm waiting until that happens. It's going to take a while, but I'm confident Togashi picked those four characters for a reason to be the four main cast. And like Kurapika is shining now, Leorio will also be shining. Absolutely, he will get his time in the spotlight, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's been evident in general, too, that, like, there is a spotlight starting to be shown on him, and that was evident all the way from 13th, you know, chairman election arc. You know, there was a prime focus on him during that. Obviously, that was, like, Killua's arc mainly, right? But, you know, there's been attempts since then at, like, you know, showcasing Leorio in a more prominent light. And I think that's only going to continue to increase as we kind of get further along in the story.
Yeah, at least he's, like, he's there, you know, like, he's a piece on the board.
He's involved, and that's not that's more than what you could say about Greed Island and Chimerians. So
exactly, yep.
There's been moves made to remedy that. Next up is from Paya, saying Leorio is a super cool guy, and all his appearances so far were nice, but there isn't much depth to him so far. I would love to see more of him, and I think a role as Kurapika's emotional anchor would suit him well. This is also something I'd love to see explored. You know, if Kurapika starts breaking down on this boat, you know, I think Leorio just kind of being his shoulder to lean on for any amount of time would be really fitting.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that would be a great role for him to serve.
Mm-hmm.
Next comes from Queen Melodies YT, who says, I always love Leorio's sense of justice and compassion. His job as a doctor really fits him, and I got so happy seeing him in the background not too long ago. We did too.
Mm-hmm.
In a world... or Morenas and Krollos who seek destruction because of the cruelty they've seen. This world doesn't deserve to live type of thing. Yeah. I really would want to see how Leorio reacts to this. his values being complete opposites and his compassion so high. I would like to see how he would react to a major character, to major characters this arc, or to the cruelties of the Dark Continent in the future. Could being powerless to the deaths around him affect him once again? Also, his theme is a banger, and it absolutely is.
It definitely is. I love his theme. You make a really good point about like how, yeah, again, it kind of ties back to how I was saying that he's so different from other characters in the series. I'm starting to think now, like, this comment is making me think about how these interactions would even be if you were to, you know, encounter somebody like Krollo himself. You know, that'd be really interesting to explore.
Yeah, I would love to see him talk to, like, you know, a major antagonist, because it hasn't happened yet. And I'd be really curious to see what he would have to say to someone like that.
Because I'd imagine he might even have a lot of sympathy for some of these characters, you know, just based off of his own personal values. That'd be really interesting to explore.
Possibly.
I would love to imagine just like getting to the Dark Continent, you know, people start dying left and right around him, and he starts feeling powerless, and you know, that connects to like, you know, his upbringing and almost, you know, the girl he couldn't save, you know, from that sickness or whatever when he was younger. Oh my gosh, there's so much to explore there, so much to connect to that character. I really want to see it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next up is from Chaos E-Tank. Hi, Jesse. He's too normal compared to everyone else in Hunter x Hunter LMAO. It was definitely obvious that Togashi wasn't sure what to do with his character for a long time, but I think now he has something. With that said, him running to Hogone is one of the most emotional scenes in the series. I know he will definitely have a big moment, most likely in the Dark Continent arc, that will surpass the Ching Punch. So I look forward to when that happens. Yeah, no doubt in my mind.
The only part I disagree with is Togashi wasn't sure what to do with him. I feel like he kind of always had an idea. It just, Togashi's a patient man. He's willing to sit on ideas for a long time. And I think that's kind of what's happening with Leorio and what happened with Leorio. He wasn't needed for Greed Island or Chimera Ant, so he's pushed to the background. But I truly believe he's always had a plan for the character. Otherwise, why would he even make him one of the main four to begin with?
And yeah, there's other stuff within the series, too, that you could argue that, like, maybe he wasn't sure what to do with that first two. You could argue, technically, even, like, the Phantom Troop for the longest time, maybe, you know? You could have that same perspective. The only difference with that and, like, someone like Leorio is that Leorio was kind of, like, inactive in the story for a long period of time. And that's really...
So was
really
the Troop.
So was the Troop, though. I mean, the Troop has always kind of had a presence, though, to be fair. Even in, like, Greed Island. Hell, even in Chimera Ant, they had that little cutaway to them.
One cutaway.
You know, so they were always present. It's just a matter of, like, Leorio wasn't shown specifically. Mm-hmm. But obviously there was developments with his absence. So, I don't know. I see the perspective. I understand it. But I definitely do think there was at least, like, an outline of a plan for him, you know, this entire time. Yeah. It's just now is really the chance that he has to kind of showcase it.
100%. And yeah, I definitely believe he'll have some big moments in the future that will more than likely outshine the Jing Punch.
Yeah, for now, that is the king of Leorio moments, though, undisputed.
Yes. Yep. All right, next is from SDM4B, who says, I'm going to be honest. I find it hard to care about him with how little relevance he has in the story past the first arc. Okay, so we got the other end of the spectrum here. I don't dislike him or anything, but he is so underused that even secondary characters like Morrel or Melody feel more important than him to me. It's weird because I think Togashi handled the weaker protagonist trope so much better in Yu Yu Hakusho with Kuwabara. I do agree with that, at least. Anyway, here's hoping Leorio gets the spotlight in the Dark Continent arc. I really like the idea that you guys mentioned about him and Jing being the main duo for the Dark Continent arc. They would have a fun dynamic. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I get that in some capacity, but...
This is an understanding perspective to have, I think. Yeah. Because, like, obviously, I think a lot of our perspective on the character comes from, like... I mean, like, we just like his personality in general. Like, he's very charismatic. But also, admittedly, a lot of it is hinged on, like, hopes that, like, it'll... be showcased even further, like his character, right? that being said, like, I can see the opposite end, though, where, like, you know, maybe you're more on the pessimistic side that things will actually be shown on him just due to just, you know, the history of the character being showcased in the series, right? I can understand that to a degree.
Yeah, and the thing I do definitely agree with here is, like, secondary characters feeling more important. That, you know, that is a unfortunate side effect of how Leorio is handled. Yes. How he has been handled thus far, at least. Because, I mean, yeah, exactly the characters you say are perfect examples. Moral and Melody, very fleshed out characters, especially Moral in this case. I mean, he was with us for a whole arc, like the longest arc in the series, too, and he was very well developed. He is definitely a more developed character than Leorio. I can comfortably say that. And that's crazy. Yeah. But,
and that's why I can understand this view, because, like, you have someone like Moral, who was very, very fleshed out, very, you know, explored multiple different avenues of that character within, like, 100, 200 chapters. You know, whatever in that range. I don't know how long, many chapters he's actually been in, but you get the idea. Like, a shorter, like, for effectively, like, 25% of the series, he has been like a present dynamic within an arc, right? Leorio has been a character, a mainstay since almost the very beginning, and you know that one character that was in one arc has kind of outshone him in some ways. So I understand it. I understand the pessimism with Leorio. I really do.
Yeah, we just don't. We're not quite that pessimistic about him. No. We're actually very optimistic about him.
I think his charisma kind of carries a lot of my caring of the character, for sure. He's just a good friend. I don't know.
Yeah, he's...
I like that.
He's such a nice guy. It's hard to not care about him.
It's a thing of expectations at the end of the day, I think, right? Like, you know, some people expect more out of a character in order to properly care about them. But, like, someone like Leorio doesn't take a whole lot for me to, like them, you know? And, you know, even care about them to the degree that I do. He's just a good guy, and he's very charismatic, and I can't really ask for more than that out of a character like Leorio specifically.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Next up is from Leo Dog saying, "That's my goat." the opposite end of the spectrum from the prior one. "He is my favorite character in the series. Ever since we found out why he really wanted all that money. His aura dropped in the Trick Tower, but he brought it back in York New and then dropped 30 in the third quarter when he punched Jing. LOL." I love that these two comments were back-to-back with each other.
Yeah.
That's so funny. No, I see that too. Yeah, I don't know. He's just a good guy, you know? And that Jing moment is infamous. So
yep.
I get it. I do.
Absolutely. I love that he's your favorite character. That's a great pick.
Yeah. Not my favorite, personally, but I do really, really love Leorio still.
Yeah, and he's great, man.
Yeah, just a good guy.
Next is from Jing Freaks. Wow.
Hey, Jing.
Let's see what Jing has to say about him.
Yeah.
"My favorite Leorio interaction is his initial interaction with Kurapika. It was literally the embodiment of 'put some respect on my name.' Yeah, it absolutely is."
I feel like that's something Jing would say, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that too. His introduction in general is a little underrated, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a super strong moment. Like, he's pretty he's almost like a caricature of himself in that moment. Like, he's very exaggerated, but yes. I think it's great. I don't know, I love it. They both are in that moment. They're heated, that's why.
And it works for Leorio, especially leading into the Hunter exam, where he is just like, it kind of showcases him in that moment as like all talk, no bite. He's as aggressive as he puts himself to be, and you know how like idealistic he looks there, he just proceeds to not do a whole lot in Hunter exam, and that kind of works for his growth going further into the series.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, love that. Good comment.
Yeah, great moment.
Next up is from Dindin saying, "A lot of people say he's gonna shine in the Dark Continent arc, but personally he should have done it way before." Okay. Back to this. "I remember there was someone who said Kurapika outshines Leorio in this arc, which is true and understandable since he is written better. But Leorio could have done something in Greed Island and Chimera Ant arc. I just wish he started getting stronger back in the series and was not left for the end, since it will look forced. And I don't know how he even survives Dark Continent if he reaches 90%. Or if he reaches it. 90% is getting wiped off the face of the world the moment they land there. If, of course, they reach there." I see this argument too, where like maybe a little bit more should have been shown of him earlier in those arcs, especially Green Iron Chimera, where he's just completely absent. I kind of agree with that to an extent, honestly.
I agree too, and that is one complaint I do have about the Greed Island Chimera Ant stretch, is I wish we did get to see a little bit of the other characters
just
during that time. Yeah, just something. And we do. I like exactly what happens with Kurapika in Greed Island, where we do get actually a cutaway in the middle of the arc to him. I wish we got that with Leorio, and I also wish we got it with Kurapika a second time during Chimera Ant. I wish we just had little moments to check in on them real quick and see like where they're at, what they're doing at this time. But
yeah,
feels like Togashi got really absorbed in Chimera Ant and he just did not want to get away from it.
Which isn't a bad thing necessarily, but it's a trade-off, you know, and unfortunately it's one that doesn't work in Leorio's favor, especially because I can also understand their perspective that, you know, when we eventually do learn more about him, if he's developed his Nen further, things like that, you know, it might look a little bit forced, you know? I could see that perspective for sure. Especially with Leorio specifically, because again, a lack of screen time earlier in the series.
Yeah. Definitely an understandable perspective.
Yeah.
Alright, next comes from Pokey, who says, Leorio has the potential to be an absolutely peak cast member again in the future in future chapters, and especially in regards to the Dark Continent. He makes such great contributions to the arcs he's a part of, but at the same time, I respect the restraint that Togashi shows in keeping him out of arcs where he wouldn't have a role to play. Right, and that's the other end of the coin. I also respect that. His grand return to the election was absolutely incredible and made so much sense in the direction his character was going for him to gain so much popularity and become Cheadle's apprentice and the Boar Zodiac. Also, I love how he's consistently shown to be one of the most empathetic and kind characters in the whole manga. Absolutely agree. And yeah, think about that election return and how exciting that was to see him again and be playing a role. That wouldn't have been a feeling you would experience if he was around in previous arcs. So again, it's a push and pull. There's a trade-off. It's a weird thing to think about. Where, like, yes, I wish we did see him more consistently, but also, it's cool when stuff like that happens, right?
Yeah, that moment wouldn't have been as special if we kind of knew he would be around before then, you know? Yeah. You know, trade-offs. You lose one thing, but you do gain another thing, and that's a very good point in that, you know, if he really didn't have much use for the character in an arc, maybe it was for the better that, you know, we didn't showcase him, or he wasn't around, because he would just be... That would feel forced, right? Potentially.
Yeah.
Really good points all around being made in these comments. I'm really liking this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, other than that, you've hit the usual points that we've been kind of hitting on throughout this episode. Very empathetic and kind character, and that really contrasts with most of the other characters in the series.
Yeah, that empathy is especially, like, that's the thing about him. He's very empathetic, and that's what can endear us to him so much, and just love it.
Next up is from Coolest Kid, saying, Leorio is one of those characters that really needs more screen time / page time. Love a character that can hang with the superpowered protagonists, but also feel a bit mundane / grounded to earth like the rest of us common folk. There we go.
Yeah. As I've been saying, yep.
He's human. He's the most human. Like human character in the entire series, I feel
yes,
like.
Yes, he absolutely is.
And even his own Nen ability is very, like, base. Like, dude, you have, like, Emperor Time and, you know, all these other, like, crazy-ass abilities. And Leorio's is just, I can punch through objects. Like, that
admittedly,
that
it is actually more complex than Gon's ability, but...
Hey. Yes, but, you know, at least Gon has, like, multiple different, like, forms it could take, you know? You know, there's some intricacies with that. Leorio's just, I punch this object, my punch goes through another object. Like...
Yep. Right on.
It's very simple in that regard, and that adds to that kind of whole presentation of his character.
100%. Okay, next comes from Force Rounds Penguin, who says, Leorio is one of my favorite characters. He may not be as skilled as other hunters, but he deserves credit for being a supportive friend in the crazy, bloodthirsty world he lives in. If he won the Succession War instead of all the other cocking princes, I would not complain. Yeah.
How would that happen?
Would not happen, but hey, that'd be cool. Unless he's a secret child of Beyond.
Dude, no way. No shot. I don't believe it for a second.
Tune into our next theory episode. I'll talk all about that. I'm kidding.
We don't know who his father is, though, I guess, technically.
We don't know anything about him.
We don't know anything about him. He could.
New theory just dropped, guys.
Ooh, yeah, think
about
that.
Watch out for the Reddit threads.
Watch out. They're going to steal it from us. You heard it here first, though.
That's right, yeah.
Good comment, though.
Yes.
Next up is from Cement Athletics, saying, Leorio, what can I say? I think that's what's supposed to be said there.
Yeah.
I personally think his ability is the inverse of Gon's. Leorio's paper would be the equivalent of Gon's rock. Similar to using a scalpel, can easily cut through a person or sever nerves to incapacitate an individual, but has to be dangerously close for it to be effective. Huh.
Interesting thought to have like a paper or scissors version of his punch. That's
neat
to think about. And yeah, apply it to surgery too. Because his ability, I think there is a line when Jing uses it, right, about how like this ability was meant for like surgeries, right? About like some about blood vessels or something. I don't remember exactly.
I don't remember. I'd have to reread that. I don't know. I can't recall.
Remember exactly. But yeah, I'd have to look into it, but something about that. I think at least the idea of the ability came from performing surgeries, I think. Somebody in the comments can correct me on that one if you want to, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, cool little idea, though. Cool little note. And, you know, surely we learn potentially more things that Leorio can do with his known in the future. I would hope it's not just a punch through walls ability and that's it, but, you know.
Yeah, cool. I'd love to get it fleshed out more. We don't even know its name, so I'm sure there's more to it.
Yes, yeah. Maybe that's just one application of an ability that has many different branches. Who's to say?
Yeah. Next up is from the Young Knight, who says, I believe he is potentially being set up as the new chairman and the one who will be able to find success in the Dark Continent. It is clear that Togashi seems to have the characters who end up having the largest impact on the story be people who are weak yet incredible in their own way, like Komugi. Melody and Leorio, even the member of the Phantom Troop that made the largest impact with their death was Paku Noda, who seems to be one of the weakest members in the troop. Great point there. Yeah, I never really thought about this.
Yeah.
What all these characters have in common is that they are in no way combat-focused and are incredibly empathetic, which allows them to use their talents in a far more hopeful way than the incredibly strong characters we see in this series. Netero, Adult Gon, Krollo and the Spiders, Hisoka, Serednich, Meruem and his guards, Karapika, and the Zoldyx all are incredibly powerful and can have moments of empathy and hope, but in general take on far more darker roles in the story that ultimately lead to things being back to the way they were originally. Nothing changes, the world is still as dark as it was before, but I believe that Leorio, who is the protagonist we expect the least out of, will be the one who will change the destination of the Hunter Association and humanity towards a far more hopeful future. Or maybe he just dies on the Dark Continent because Togashi won't let us have nice things. Who knows? Well, hopefully that doesn't happen.
Unfortunately, almost an equally as likely outcome considering the predictability of Togashi, which is next to impossible. True. I really love this comment. Yeah, he's just a shining... He is a character who can definitely have like a shining beacon of hope compared to almost any other character in the series, especially with the protagonists, as the other three kind of have more darker undertones to them compared to him. So, I don't really have a lot to say. This is a really good comment.
It is, yeah, and I definitely, you know, especially whenever you compare him, like, Komugi especially rings there. Like, yeah, that is a very comparable character, like a surprisingly comparable character. Both very empathetic, both very human characters, grounded people, I could definitely see Leorio having a similar impact, but maybe on a larger scale, because really, Komugi in ways does impact the world, but primarily she impacts Meruem. In some ways, I guess you could say maybe Leorio could have an impact on, say, Karapika at some point, something like that, but also he could just be like this shining beacon for like the whole world, just like this positive empathetic, charismatic figure that can act as like a leader. And yeah, you saying that him being set up as like a new chairman, for sure, I could see that. I mean, obviously we have Cheadle right now, but I mean that could change at any given moment. Who really?
Cheadle could die at literally any point. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's like from Beyond shenanigans or Dark Continent shenanigans, like I don't know. It feels like a potential layup almost that Leorio would eventually become the chairman. Maybe that's a little too predictable, but it would at least be a valid destination for the character. And yeah, I mean, also really good point. Just like there's more of a trend with like more, you know, quote unquote useless characters being set up for like massive success as, you know, developments within the series that maybe I've thought about before. Didn't really think about it until now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Good comment. All right. Next up is from I Love Waffles, saying Leorio is a great example of a character who doesn't have too much screen time, but is used extremely efficiently when he does make an appearance. And see, that's another point we didn't really touch on, is like when he does have screen time, he's very, very prominent for the most part, yeah. Right? He does stuff, you know, when
yeah,
he's there.
I mean, it's that charisma. He just has such a overwhelming presence when he's on screen, you know?
Exactly. You kind of, yeah. Yeah. You think he's greedy at first, but grow attached once you learn his backstory. He's genuinely the only character I can think of with a completely selfless motivation, which makes him effective as the heart of the series. Very good sentence right there. Yeah, it's a very... I can't think of another, like, purely selfless goal out of any other character in the series. Now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
My favorite Leorio moment is when he punches Jing. Duh. It genuinely makes me very emotional seeing how much Leorio cared about Gon, and it made me tear up the first time I watched. Hell yeah, dude. I hope he gets his well-deserved spotlight in the Dark Continent. I can see him making a good protagonist where we could see how a normal hunter deals with the absurd threats of the Dark Continent. We could also see him further his progress and show his skills as a doctor by dealing with these otherworldly illnesses and ailments. Keep up the good work, guys. Excited to hear what you guys think of him and some of your favorite Leorio moments. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, just a great character all around. And, you know, surely he'll get that well-deserved spotlight sooner rather than later.
Surely. Okay, next comes from CRHJ2HK, who says... Leorio, my man.
My man.
My man. There are so many great character moments. That punch made history, I'm telling you. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I love how other characters see him. Carappa.
Carappa.
Carapica, Melody, Gon, and even Killua. He is a real friend. Loud AF, but that is part of his charm. Exactly what I've been getting at.
Yeah. We all have a friend like that, you know?
We all got that one friend who is loud.
Who is loud.
Also, he's very underrated as a hunter. He learned Nen on his own through the slow method and still managed to create an ability Jing never encountered before, which proves how unique his mind is, and the ability has so much potential, as Jing kindly demonstrated for us. Yeah. Leorio being in the middle of the Black Whale chaos is very interesting to me. I hope we will see how he deals with the issues at hand and a glimpse of his true potential as a hunter and Zodiac member. Honestly, he puts a smile on my face every time he is on screen, and he doesn't have to be great. He's doing good already, IMO. I just want to see more of him. Absolutely. I love that line about saying he puts a smile on my face every time he's on screen, because same for me. You can't help it. He's just wonderful guy, you know?
Yeah, again, he doesn't have to have a complicated backstory to be well-liked. His character kind of speaks for himself almost.
Absolutely. He has a similar, you know, quality of Gon, really. He's just like...
Yeah.
Just
very comparable.
Yeah, I mean, he's a beacon of light in a different way that Gon is.
Yeah. That's the beauty of how those characters are written, too. Two vastly different perspectives, for the most part. You know, or presentations, rather, is the best way to put it.
Yep.
Next up is from Bizarre Czar, saying, "For how big the Dark Continent is, I want to see Mr. Leorio have a lot of character development. I want to see how he has matured and what he learned during all the shenanigans with Gon and Killua. Also, it would be cool to learn how he learned Nen, slash a more in-depth description of his ability. Absolutely. One thing I don't like is that Jing basically stole Leorio's ability and uses it 1,000% better than he was shown to. I hope there's actually more nuance to the ability, and he was just showing a little attack to not give too much of his hand, or at least he is inspired by seeing how Jing uses his ability and takes it to the next level. Summary, I want to see Leorio whoop ass and make moves. Oh, and heal some people. Very good point. I understand the perspective, but I don't think Jing stealing Leorio's ability and using it to like the nth degree better, I don't think that makes him Leorio look weak necessarily. I think that just makes Jing look very, very busted, and I think that was the intent of that.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. That was the intention of that scene. I mean, it was made to show that Jing is crazy strong, and it was very effective at that. I don't think that really is a disservice to Leorio in any capacity. And like we were just talking about earlier, I do think there probably is a little more to his ability than what we saw displayed. So I'm not worried about it.
To add an additional perspective to that that maybe you haven't thought of, what does that say that Jing decided, hey, Leorio's ability specifically is, one, something I haven't seen before, and two, is cool enough that I want to steal it? Hey, that says a lot about Leorio to me, anyways. Like, Jing saw something in him there to just yoink that ability from him, you know?
An ability worth stealing.
Yes. Just a perspective to have that, you know, maybe that showcases Leorio in a little bit of a better light than maybe you're thinking here. But otherwise, I agree. I really want to see more shenanigans from him in the future, especially in the Dark Continent. That'd be very fitting.
And definitely more displays of his doctor skills, because we really haven't gotten a whole lot of that yet.
No, definitely not. It's just kind of small panels that doesn't say a whole lot, that aside from he's working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next up is from Weary Exile, who says, Yeah, he is Kuwabara 2.0. He was overshadowed by the other three protagonists, blah, blah, blah. He will get his time to shine, probably in the Dark Continent arc. But did you know that Oreo is canonically packing? Did you know this, Dylan?
I didn't either.
Made Kurapika question his own sexuality. Also, bro, I've seen that. I know what he's talking about. Well, maybe we'll get to it, I guess, eventually. There's like a filler moment in the 99 anime.
Oh!
Kurapika sees him naked or something, and he's like, what the fuck?
Okay.
I have to watch that again, but I think I know what you're talking about, yeah. Anyways. Also, bro would make a great politician. He also got that nice Sigma light skin stare.
Finally, we got Cage to read a comment like this. Thank you, guys.
Which to this day makes me fall to my knees in Walmart. We all love that moment. It's hilarious. It's also funny in context because that scene is literally Gon being like beat to death and he's just
so serious, but that I love that picture.
On the more serious note, dude got quite a potential. Hisoka saw that and liked his guts. That's why he let him live. Jing considered meeting Oreo a worthwhile occasion. Dude is being taught by a zodiac that's got that dog in her. A tiger star disease.
A tiger star?
What in the fuck, Cage? What is going on? A triple star. What's a tiger star, bro?
What is a tiger star, man? That's what I don't know.
A triple star disease hunter, Cheadle Yorkshire. There could be no better teacher for him. Was able to open a second gate weighing 8 tons while Kurapika, albeit without his Sharingan, Scarlet Eyes, and Gon could only open the first gate. My man's also got the smoothest OST in the 2011 anime. It's a pity we will never be able to hear his Seiyu, Keiji Fujiwara, rip a legend. Yeah. Blood's got some serious... Oh my god, I keep inventing words! What is going on? Some great stuff coming from him in the manga if Togashi can continue drawing. Other than that, he's also got the coolest family name out of everyone, Parody Knight. Long live King Oreo. Now can we please bring Owl the Sproul back? Soon.
Soon. Give it up for Cage, everybody, for getting through this comment.
I did it, guys.
He did it. That was a fun read.
Yes, I agree with all of your points, really. So
every single point.
Even the Tiger Star Hunter.
Yeah, and the nice Sigma light skin stare.
We do love the Sigma light skin stare. Yes. What else here did I want to break down? Yeah. The thing I do actually kind of want to spend a little bit of time talking about is the Cheadle stuff. I guess like him being taught by her, we didn't really mention at all. But yeah, he is like learning doctor-like abilities and techniques from her right now, and has been.
He is effectively her apprentice, and you know, if we're kind of thinking along the lines of maybe he becomes the actual chairman itself one day. You know, if Cheadle were for some reason has to step down, or you know, gets taken out, or just dies. You know, I guess Leorio, by a product of being her apprentice, like would be the next in line technically if they didn't want to hold an election for whatever reason.
So, yeah, definitely.
Good comment, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Next up is from Morena Prudo.
Shit.
Okay, be careful, Cage. After experiencing a harrowing event, he decides to help others, which is great in contrast to most characters in the series. A lot of Hunter x Hunter characters hurt others because they've gone through something painful. I will say that Togashi could utilize him much, much more, especially in this current arc. I agree there. We are informed multiple times about the disparity between the upper and lower tiers of the Black Whale when it comes to medical care. I think Leorio should have a moment where he tries to convince the doctors on the upper tiers to move to the lower ones. This arc was made for him to have a good character moment like that. I would love that. With how the presentation is that the lower tier people are basically treated under shit, like they are below that, I think that'd be a really strong moment for Leorio to try and convince more care to be given to those tiers. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, especially like given his upbringing, like it's clear that he probably came from like a poor neighborhood, so I'm sure he can sympathize with the people in the lower tiers.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a good like full circle moment for him. I'd love that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't really have anything else to say there. That's a surprisingly empathetic comment coming from Morena.
Yeah, Morena. What the hell?
All jokes aside, truth
comes out.
Yeah, the truth comes out. That's right. All jokes aside, good comment. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. All right, next up, second to last, we have Ashia Dylan Sean. Okay.
Yeah, that's my name.
Yeah, that's your name. Little cameo. Leorio is badass. He's a great guy. I love the Hunter x Hunter 4 main protagonists equally. And that is a great perspective to have. Yeah, just love them all equally. They each have their own spotlight in unique ways, and that's what makes them great.
Yeah, despite the, you know, the presentation disparities between the four, you know, we all love them, I think, at the end of the day, if you're a Hunter x Hunter fan. So,
absolutely.
Good perspective.
Yes.
And then finally, the last comment that we have on today's episode comes from Low, saying, ironically, as things worsen inside the Black Whale, better are the chances that Leorio returns to the story as an active agent. I could totally see him acting as some sort of field medic in the lower tiers if things go to hell with all the fighting. Hey, look at that. Another comment saying, hey, we should have this. And I couldn't agree more. We also cannot eliminate the fact that Leorio could even end up helping Kurapika during martial law. His Hotsu is perfectly made to reach someone confined in a room, and being part of the medical team could be one of the few ways to move freely through the first tier if Benjamin's infection is part of an incoming outbreak on the ship caused by the TSK-17. Ooh. It is a disease. He's working with under Cheadle, you know, a triple star. What was it? Triple Star Disease Hunter, you know?
Tiger Star, actually.
The Tiger Star. My bad. Damn. That's not impossible. And I would argue that's probably even, like, a likely outcome to go for continuing, you know, where we left off on 410.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, currently we don't know if TSK-17, like, spread anywhere, but, hey, it is certainly possible. We have yet to see ramifications of really anything at the moment. So I mean, if that is the case, that is the way to bring Leorio into the mix, really.
I mean,
that's it. Like,
that's perfect. That's a layup. Yeah.
Perfect layup.
And, you know, admittedly, it hasn't really been alluded to that there's an outbreak going on aside from just Benjamin. But that's also something that could be revealed as, like, you know, some, like, plot twist at literally any point. Like, one person, Togashi really just has to draw one person getting a little bit sick, and, like, it's already like, oh, you know, that's something, you know, is it the TSK-17, and it develops from there, and, you know, it's something that you could conveniently place at almost any point going forward. So, only time will tell. And that'd be very fitting for him to get involved.
Yes. Couldn't agree more. That's absolutely perfect.
Yep. Yeah, that's all that we have today from your guys' thoughts. A lot of good comments for this episode. Thank you very much. A lot of good discussion here. Potentially maybe more comments that come in even after we're done recording this, so be sure to go check out the community post for yourself on the YouTube page if you want to see more discussion or discuss with anybody there on any of these thoughts. And just another reminder to keep an eye out for these kinds of posts on our socials weekly for each episode topic if you want to get involved in the discussion.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you guys for showing up for this, for the Leorio retrospective. These are some great comments, and I love talking about our boy here.
Yeah, and you helped fill in a lot of time on this episode too, so couldn't appreciate it more.
This is a rare moment where we actually got through every comment on the community post, so that's awesome.
Very nice.
All right. So with that, guys, this has been the Hunter Association. Thank you so much for listening. We are available on all major podcasting platforms, as well as YouTube for the video version. Be sure to follow, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. You can also follow us on Twitter at TXHXAPod, as well as Blue Sky at just THAPod. For updates on the show and as an alternative way to submit responses to the weekly call-out posts. As always, we'll be here the same time every week talking about Hunter x Hunter. Dylan, where can people find you online?
At DJ Tengen. That's DJTENGEN on Twitter and Blue Sky mainly. I just repost memes and random things and talk about life stuff occasionally, hobbies. Still big into the One Piece TCG right now. I've been posting somewhat regularly about some events I've been going to for that. Nico Robin main, by the way. I don't know. If you're curious about any of that or just nerd stuff in general, go follow me on either of those platforms.
Absolutely. And you can find me at Cage10 on Blue Sky. That's KAIIGE10, where I tweet about stuff.
I know you'll post your Pokemon Pocket pulls, you know, at some point.
Yeah, I pulled Crown Rare Palkia. That was exciting.
There you go. It's a big set from what I've been seeing of that.
It's a great set. Very good set. I'm really enjoying that.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's all we got this week. So coming up in the future. Well, actually, before that, let me plug real quick again. Go check out our Nen Impact episode. Yes. I really like that episode. Want more people to watch that one.
A lot of you that have watched it also or listened to it seem to have good things to say about it too, which we really appreciate. And I think it was very reassuring to both of us that people liked how we discussed you know, things on that episode in general, because we had a lot of fun with that one. So it's awesome to see that be well received. So please go check it out if you haven't already. That's something I think both of us are really proud of.
Yeah, absolutely. We did get some gameplay.
Yes.
So 45 minutes about gameplay in that video, so go check that out if you want to see it played.
And if you're interested in seeing the gameplay without our commentary over it and maybe just hearing us find out stuff and react to stuff in real time, in the description of the YouTube video for that is just the pure unedited footage that we recorded for the game. So if you're interested in that at all, go check that out. A little Easter egg for you if you made it to the end here.
Absolutely. Yeah, go check that out. And also you can check our socials and stuff to see our, you know, our various posts and videos about our time at Frosty Faustings, if you want to see that and see the booth and stuff that Nen Impact was at. Go check all that out. We had a great time at Frosty Faustings.
Mm-hmm. It was a blast.
Yes. All right. So coming up, let's talk about next episode and you know, episodes for the foreseeable future. Yeah, so
we have no idea when the manga is coming back, so we got to fill something into the void.
So we're starting a new like project, so to speak, a series that will be twice a month until the manga comes back at some point. Mm-hmm. And that, my friends, is Hunter x Hunter 1999, the original anime adaptation. We are going to watch through the whole thing slowly, three episodes at a time. Currently, that may change. We'll see what happens. I don't know how much time we'll fill with three or however. We'll see.
The exact formula is tentative to change, but right now we're planning for three episodes, or three of the 99 episodes per podcast episode.
Podcast episode, yeah. So you can join us next week where we cover Hunter x Hunter 1999 episodes 1 through 3, and I'll probably, you know, call up posts will probably be out like on Mondays like usual, and I'll also, you know, remind you guys what episodes we're watching. This is kind of like a, in my head, this is sort of like a book club type of thing. Like, you guys will keep up with us if you would like to and talk about the episodes alongside us. And yeah, we'll see how it goes. This will be twice a month. We'll do it on the second and last week of every month. And so this is actually, I guess I'll just talk about the schedule in general going forward, month to month. The schedule will be, first week of the month will be always a character retrospective. So the beginning of next month, you guys will get another character retrospective. Won't reveal it yet, but mm-hmm. we'll get one. Then a 99 episode, then something. Who knows what, just an episode about something.
Yeah, that one's kind of just kind of the free spot, so to speak. You know, we'll plug whatever we feel is fitting there at any given month.
And that's kind of an effort to just not make this a Hunter x Hunter 99 channel. We want to cover other topics too. But we also want to get through the 99 anime at a somewhat reasonable pace, which is why two a month seemed reasonable to us.
So
that for the foreseeable future is the schedule. Months with 5 months, I don't know, we'll figure that out. But
months with 5 months, is that
what five my brain doesn't work very well right now. I got a cold.
months with 5 weeks, we'll figure it out.
Yes, we'll figure it out. That's the plan. So watch episodes 1 through 3 of Hunter x Hunter 99 and report back tomorrow or whenever I post the call out post. Yep. And we'll talk to you guys about it on Sunday, like usual.
Yeah, and as in for where to watch it specifically, you guys surely know how the internet works. You can find some decent quality subbed version of it at the very least. The exact one doesn't matter too much considering there's not an official version out, unfortunately. So just use your best discretion. You know, any form of it works here, really.
Yeah, it is on YouTube. That's where we're watching it. We'll be watching it. So you can find it
on YouTube. I don't think we'll link it necessarily.
No.
That's a little too much risk, but you can find it on YouTube. And if you don't want to watch it on YouTube for whatever reason, there are other avenues as well. Various sites.
Yeah, you guys can find it. It's pretty easy to find, especially. I mean, this literally has not been released. So it's legal gray area, you know, whatever. Just go watch it.
Go find it. I believe in you guys.
Yeah. We have faith. All right. And with that, we will see you guys for Hunter x Hunter 99, episodes 1 through 3. See you
then. Very excited. See you then.